Welcome to this week's message from A New Church. For more information, or if you'd like to contact us, please visit our website, newchurch.nz. Thanks for tuning in, and we hope you enjoy this message.
I was brought up in a Christian family, great parents, awesome Christian values and morals. I think I gave my heart to God when I was about 4 or 5, if I remember correctly. And I remember that being like a really strong decision for me. It wasn't something that I took lightly, because I really remember that moment, giving my heart to God and then going away and being extremely passionate. And even to the point where I had some neighbors who were really good friends of mine, and I'd always invite them to come over to my house and hang out and play on the tramp and stuff. And I remember sitting on the trampoline, and I think this was a common recurrence because it's like pretty fresh in my brain. I'd always say to them, like, oh, you know, like, you got to become a Christian and stuff. And I'd always say to them, if you don't become a Christian, you're going to go to hell. You know, like, you got to make this decision. Like, it's a big decision kind of thing. And, you know, I think God can understand my passion. When I look back on it, I'm like, it's probably not the best way to go around it. Although there's some truth in that, it's kind of like there's some other kind of more PC ways I could have done that, but I think God saw my heart. And I can just really remember having that passion, that eagerness to want to share what God had done in my life with other people. And but who knows that as you get older, you become cynical, or you sometimes do. If you're anything like me, you become a bit more cynical, you think about stuff a bit more, you know, and you actually, if you're brought up in a Christian household, I know like many of you here probably were, you really, there's a point in your life where you have to take on your Christian faith for yourself. And you have to decide whether or not Jesus is what you really want. And so for me, that probably came around the time that I was in high school. Kind of early high school, up until that point, a pretty kind of passionate relationship with Jesus. And I had a bit of a relationship breakdown, something kind of like someone close to me really hurt me. And it was the kind of hurt that you don't get over easy. And I ended up kind of just holding all this unforgiveness in my life. And yeah, it took me about a year to fully actually work through that unforgiveness in my life. And there was a lot of people in the situation that hurt me. It was just all the stuff that went on. And, you know, who knows that when you're a teenager, you can get pretty emotional, you know. You see all your hormones going and everything's. And so, you know, everything's heightened. The situation that maybe to everyone else wasn't terrible for you, it's like the end of the world. And but it had a huge effect on my life. And I kind of decided that, God, I want to do life without you for a bit, you know, and I pushed God to the side. And to people around me, they probably thought, oh, you know, Eddie's still a Christian, Eddie's still hard out for God, but inside there was this turmoil going on that I couldn't overcome. And although I knew that Jesus was there the whole time, because, you know, I'd been brought up in this Christian family where you're told God's always there, he never leaves you, I pushed God to the side and said, you know what, God, I don't actually want anything to do with you right now, you know, just don't come too close because I'm really hurt. And so I held on to that unforgiveness, and, you know, it ended up, there was a lot of bitterness inside of me, especially towards the people that hurt me, and a lot of inner turmoil. And, you know, one of my favorite quotes is by Nelson Mandela, and it says, "Not forgiving someone is like drinking poison and expecting the other person to die." That's a pretty hard-hitting quote, but I can tell you from experience that is exactly what unforgiveness is like when you let it into your life and you don't deal with it. And this morning my message is called Forgiven to Forgive. What I should have named it was the 4 R's to forgiveness, because that's what I later come up with. And it was too late by then. I'd already given Steve the message title, so I thought, okay. So it's actually Forgiven to Forgive with the 4 R's of forgiveness. So if you're taking notes, you can write that, and then you can write underneath 4 R's to forgiveness. So. Cool. So that's a little bit about me and a little about where my testimony comes from and how how I had some real strong unforgiveness in my life and how I had to overcome that. And these are just some of the few things that I'm going to go over this morning are just some things that I really found that helped me. And I believe that if I'd put this into practice during this time when this thing had come up that I would have been able to deal with this unforgiveness a lot easier and a lot quicker in my life. So my first point this morning is rethink your foundation. So first scripture this morning, Matthew 7, 24 to 27. You guys would have heard this. If you're brought up in the church, you would have heard this story many times. Everyone then who hears these words of mine and does not heed them will be like the wise man who built his house on the rock. Everyone who hears these words of mine and does them, will be like the wise man who built his house on the rock. And then the rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and beat on the house. But it did not fall because it had been founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like the foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat against the house. And it fell, and it was great, and great was the fall of it. So it's another pretty kind of like hard-hitting verse when you actually think about it. And so for context's sake, when Jesus was talking about this verse, he was talking to his disciples, he was actually talking about inheriting the kingdom of God. And he was saying how, you know, if your foundations aren't strong, then you're not going to inherit the kingdom of God. You're not going to inherit eternal life. I think this also has a context in terms of our day-to-day. If we don't build strong foundations, then when stuff comes our way, whether that's unforgiveness, whatever that looks like in your life, instead of standing strong and being able to overcome it with God, you end up just falling apart, like, you know, I did kind of thing. And when I was writing this, I wrote down here, we can't afford to slip into the mindset of letting ourselves think that having a passive relationship with God is okay. God wasn't passive when he chose to send his son to die on the cross for us. You know, God saw that there was a problem going on, and he made a decision to send his son to die for us, to take the place of sin. And I feel like sometimes we can, you know, we can go through our relationship with God and we can be passive about it, you know, oh, we'll just do this and do that. And but you know, it's hard hitting when we think God sent his only son to die for us. He made that decision for us. And so that was just something to think about as I was writing down there. So you might be thinking, well, how do you build your house on the rock? Okay, if someone built their house on the rock and someone built their house on the sand, how do we build our house on the rock this morning? Good news for you. I've got some tips on how you can build your house on the rock this morning. And again, sure, you may have heard some of these things, but I'm going to hammer them into you again this morning, because they're so good to get into you. And so these are just a few things that I know that if you do this in your life, as I tell you, I've definitely faced stronger circumstances, more hard-hitting circumstances that I faced when I was in my early high school, and I was able to get through them because of these things. And so the first one is prayer. Prayer is so important. I had verses to go with all these points, but I'm not going to go through all of them this morning for time's sake. But, you know, often the word prayer can be really intimidating for people, but it literally just means talking to God. And, you know, these days, I found it really funny. God seems to pick the most inconvenient times to talk to me, but they're often the times where really God really does something in my life. And, you know, that for you guys, they might look like 5 minutes, it might look like 10 minutes, might look like half an hour, but it's literally just getting a chance where you talk to God. For me, I'm really fortunate. I live half an hour out of town, and I choose to have a chat with God in the morning when I get up, drive to work. It's such an awesome place to just chill out, have a chat with God. But that can look like any time. It could look like your lunch break. It could look like end of the day. But it's just about getting it into you, getting that prayer into you. And talking about that, we have a prayer event coming up. So if you want to hone in on prayer, this is the perfect time of the year to do it. The Bible, making a daily habit, even if it's just a couple of minutes, a couple of verses to read your Bible. And, you know, there's so many awesome reasons to read your Bible, but one of the biggest reasons is because it keeps you accountable to God and it keeps you accountable to other people. Because who knows that sometimes you hear some people going off on some skew paths and stuff and you wonder, you know, where is this in the Bible, you know? And so the Bible is so awesome because it keeps us accountable to God and it keeps us accountable to other people, and it brings the truth to our lives. And when it was interesting, because when I really fell away from God and in my life and I was really struggling, the two first things to go in my life was prayer and reading my Bible. They're the two first things that I decided to neglect in my relationship with God. And so, honestly, even if you're finding it so hard, prayer and reading your Bible. The other thing is worship. Worship is such an amazing tool. And I know that we come here on a Sunday and we have worship and it's amazing, but honestly, there's nothing like doing personal worship to God. You know, even if for me, I love just putting some music on in the car when I go to work. Whatever that looks like, getting some worship into your life on a weekly basis, daily basis, is just absolutely amazing. And it's so vital in building that strong relationship with God. The other thing is communion. Communion is awesome. We're going to partake in communion at the end of the service. And communion is such an awesome time. Jesus took communion with his disciples before he went to the cross. And he said to them, you know, to do this, in Eddie's paraphrase, to in remembrance of me. And it's such an awesome opportunity years later for us to partake in communion. It gives us this ability to be able to step back, be able to assess our lives, assess what's going on, and come back to God, you know, deal with some of those issues that are going on in our life. And, you know, we do it at church, but you can do it in your home. You can do it while you're on your road trip somewhere. You can do it anywhere, you know, as long as you got a bit of juice, some bread, whatever you got, you can partake in communion. And the final thing this morning, which I think is so important, is being part of a faith-based community or a church, getting amongst a church, whether it's this one or another one or wherever it is, getting part of a church. And not just becoming part of a church, but actually contributing to the church, getting amongst it, joining a team, and being part of that. You know, God created us to do life together. If God created us to be by ourselves, then he would have never made Adam and Eve, right? So you think about that. In the beginning, God created two people to do life together. And so we are meant to do life together. And so, I found that it's just so amazing, the blessing that comes from being part of church and committing. So those are just a few things this morning that God has really spoken to me. And over my few years of being a Christian, and I definitely know that these are some vital things. There's probably heaps more, but these are some real key things to building your house on your rock. So prayer, Bible, worship, communion, and being part of a faith-based community or church. Awesome. How are we doing this morning? You guys all right? Cool. So if you guys have been a Christian for any length of time, you've probably had these things hammered into you. But that's all right. I'm going to keep hammering them into you, because I honestly believe that if these things take priority in our lives, then forgiving other people, hard situations, whatever that is in our lives, it becomes easier. It's not easy because forgiveness is easy, but it's easier because... Sorry, I just started reading and then I like stopped. I said here, it's not easy because forgiveness is never easy. But it's about building a barrier of protection around yourself when you do these things, so that when forgiveness comes along, you're able to do it. You're not saying, oh, it's easy to forgive someone else or it's easy to forgive this situation. But it's about making yourself whole, and it's about building that barrier around your life. So my second point this morning is to rethink your heart. What does that mean, right? To rethink your heart. So Matthew 19:13-15, it says, "Then they brought the little children to Jesus so that he could lay his hands on them, bless them, and pray for them. But the disciples scolded those who brought the children, saying, 'Don't bother him now with this.' Jesus overheard them and said, 'I want the little children to come to me, so never interfere with them when they want to come. For heaven's kingdom realm is composed of beloved ones like this. Listen to this truth. No one will enter the kingdom realm of heaven unless he becomes like one of these.' Then he laid his hands on each of them and went on his way." So it's really interesting. I'm going to read another verse and I'm going to do a bit of a comparison. So if we jump to Matthew 6, verses 14 to 15, he says, "For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins." So I find it really interesting because this is Matthew 6 that I just read. And Jesus is saying that if we don't forgive other people of their sins, then we won't inherit the kingdom of God, right? And that God won't forgive us our sins. And so, and then if you read Matthew 19, the verse that comes later on, he says that if you don't have a heart like a child, then you also won't inherit the kingdom of God. So there's this interesting context that makes me kind of think that, okay, so God is saying that we need to become like children, or we need to have a heart like children. We need to come to that place in our lives. And it's really interesting because I was thinking about this the other day, and I was thinking, man, it's really interesting because what are some of the key traits that children possess that as we get older, we seem to lose? For some reason, we seem to lose these traits. We get older, you know, we're like, I've been a Christian for 20 plus years or whatever, and some of these things that are so vital in maintaining our relationship with God, they just seem to fall away. So I'm sure that there is heaps of more traits and things that children possess that we as Christians need to get hold of, but these are just some of my favorite ones this morning. And I'm sorry if these don't seem very spiritual to you, but I can tell you that they are so key. The first one is every day is a fresh start. Have you ever noticed that children don't carry baggage from one day to the next? They start every day fresh, always. Ali Montgomery said, "Isn't it nice to think that tomorrow is a new day, no mistakes have happened yet?" Now, I think that kind of speaks for itself. You know, we are so guilty. I know I am sometimes. If something happens in your life one day, and then the next day you just carry it on because you're upset, you're angry, or whatever, remember, every day is a new fresh start. My other one is that I love is creative pursuits, hobbies are good, and they're fun for you. Creative pursuits, hobbies are good, and they are fun for you. Some reason, as we seem to get older, we stop seeing creative activities as worthwhile. For me, it's fishing, right? And golf at the moment. I absolutely love these things. And someone said to me, I was going through a pretty stressful time at the start of the year, and someone said to me, "Eddie, how many times can you get out a week and go fishing?" I was like, we're having this kind of spiritual conversation. I was like, what's that got to do with anything? They're like, well, how many times a week can you go out fishing? I was like, maybe once, twice, if I really scheduled it in. They're like, okay, sweet, make it twice a week that you go out fishing. When you plan out your week, schedule in fishing in there. And I was like, okay. And they were like, if you can schedule in those things in your life, then I can tell you that your life is going to be a whole heap better. If you schedule those things in, schedule things like your hobbies, the things you love, schedule them into your week. And I can tell you, it's been absolutely amazing advice. Don't forget your creative pursuits and your hobbies. They are actually good for you. They're good for you. God wants you to enjoy your life, okay? God wants you to enjoy those things. And I'm not saying get crazy about it. You know, don't give up your job and just go fishing every day. Okay, probably not the best idea, but make sure that they're part of your life. Okay, the third point this morning is being courageous. What is the definition of courage? It's the ability to do something that frightens you, even though you're still scared. And I love this quote by Annie Nin. She says, "Life shrinks or expands in proportion to one's courage." The fourth thing this morning is the ability to laugh every day. And this, Charlie Chaplin, "A day without laughter is a day wasted." Man, who knows that sometimes you just need a good laugh about a situation. Honestly, this year has had thrown some crazy things my way. And one day I was driving to work, my car window didn't work, it didn't go up, it just stopped working. And I was like, oh yeah, all good, no worries. Like, I'll get it sorted, it's just another thing. And I just kind of had a laugh about it, and then just like, okay, sweet, I'll sort it out. And it was kind of like, you know, if you can't laugh about it, then you're going to cry about it, right? So sometimes you need to cry, but sometimes you need to just get on with it. You know, like, it's all good. It's just another thing. I'm going to tackle it, right? Laugh about it. Number five, another trait that I love about kids is that they're slow to judge and quick to forgive. Now, have you ever noticed that children get upset pretty quick, you know? Suddenly they're having fun and everything, and the next minute they're over here in a bawling mess crying, and you're like, what the heck happened? Like, I looked away for 2 seconds, you know? But they are often the first to just get over it, they'll forgive, okay, and then they'll move on, and they're on with, you know, going their merry way kind of thing. And another trait, you know, that they're slow to judge. And if it's really interesting, if you've ever observed, you like, small children and say someone who's homeless or something by the side of the road, they're the first people to ask questions. They're the first person to want to go and give them some money or help them out or something. It's an amazing trait that we seem to lose as we get older often, and we have to remind ourselves of it. So again, some amazing hearts, traits that I feel like we can build in to our life. Be honest with God. Oh, sorry, I'm reading the next page. I'm laying all my notes out. Every day is a fresh start. Creative pursuits, hobbies, they are good and fun for you. Be courageous. Have the ability to laugh every day and be slow to judge and quick to forgive. And I know that there's heaps of things that we could add to that list, but imagine how our outlook on life and other people would actually look different if we had a rethink of our heart and think, how can we have more of a heart like a child, and put that into practice. And you might be thinking this morning, well, Eddie, that's great, but that doesn't help me because I'm still struggling with unforgiveness. There's still something in my heart this morning that I'm holding on to. But who knows that forgiveness is a process, right? Anything in your life is a process to a degree. And in my experience, if we can work on our heart, we can implement those things like reading the Bible, praying. I honestly believe that when stuff comes our way, it might be hard for us, but we've actually got that resilience, that childlike heart, to be able to work through those things. And I just love this quote that I'm going to be closing up soon, but I just love this quote by Rochelle E. Goodrich. And it says, "We are not born with hard hearts. We are born with soft and tender hearts that more often than not are mishandled and consequently broken. The pain is always harsher than expected. When each fragment turns to stone, we pile them high to form a wall of protection around ourselves. Determined never to experience such terrible pain again, that is how our hearts become hardened. Ironically, our refusal to dismantle the wall is how and why we continue to suffer." And when I read that, I was like, man, that is so true. We grow up, we live with our experiences and things, and we put these walls up around our heart, and we make our heart hard towards other people as a way to kind of protect ourselves, not even realizing that actually our hearts are supposed to be soft, open, tender, like a child's heart. So I'm gonna be closing up pretty soon, but my last point this morning is to repent and reset. So the first point this morning was to rethink your foundation, rethink your heart, repent and reset. 1 John 1:9 verses says, "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness." You know, I don't know your situation today. I'm sure that there's a lot of you that have been through far worse things than me, and I know that for a fact. But what I do know is that we can't forgive people in our own strength. We can only do that with Jesus. And in my experience, forgiveness and repentance, they go hand in hand. And the couple of steps that I've found that we really have to do if we want to work through this thing is to be honest with God. God can't forgive this person. You know, this is often a prayer that I've prayed, you know. God, I can't forgive this person, these people in my own strength. I'm handing this situation over to you. And you know, don't be afraid to keep going back to God and keep handing that situation over. You know, in my experience, forgiveness, as I said, in my experience that forgiveness goes hand in hand with repentance, and we often have to keep handing that thing over to God until we're like, okay, God, I'm actually not taking it back now. It's finally yours, kind of thing. And remember, forgiveness is never saying what happened was okay, but it's always about bringing you wholeness in the end. The other thing is ask God and others to forgive you. Because who understands that here, that hurting people hurt other people? It's just how it is. If you're hurt and you're upset, you naturally gravitate, you'll start hurting people. And so ask God to reveal people that you may have hurt through this time and make things right with God. Don't leave it. Don't think, oh, I don't want to do this right now. Make it happen now. And ask people in your life for forgiveness as well. So repent and receive.
Thanks so much for listening. We hope it was an encouragement to you. To contact us or to find out what's happening at our church, please check out our website, renewchurch.nz.